roll.
Councilmember Sanchez?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Cortez?
Yeah.
Mayor Kimball?
Here.
Councilmember Watson?
Here.
Councilmember Flores?
Yes. Thank you. Would everyone please stand while Councilmember Flores leads us in the salute?
Salute. Pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Pastor Bob Beal, Gateway Foursquare Church is offering our invocation tonight. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for the opportunity. I greatly appreciate it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time, this moment. We pray, Lord God, that your presence and your blessing would be upon those that are serving tonight, that ears would be open to hear, that there would be wisdom, there would be humility. But Father, I also want to pray and thank you, Lord God, for these that are willing to serve. Serve us all in this community. Father, we give them honor, for honor is due. And we thank you for your time and your presence in this place tonight. Give them wisdom. Father, I pray for a heart of creativity, a heart of even thinking outside the box if needed be. But Father, I just pray for overall sense, Lord God, of unity and what would be best for Lindsay. We thank you for it, Lord, and we give you praise. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, we will now go to our public comment period. The public is invited to comment on any subject under the jurisdiction of the Lindsay City Council. Speakers should give the clerk a filled out speaker card and clearly state their name at the podium to begin. Speakers shall be limited to 3 minutes each, with no more than 30 minutes for the total comment period, unless otherwise indicated by the mayor. Does anyone wish to address the council tonight under public comment?
I would. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Eric Sinclair. Born and raised here in Lindsay, California. I wanted to talk about something else. When I was younger, I got to design sort of a tool that was meant to save the power, just in case if a house goes out of their electricity or power grids around and throughout this nation. I'm the designer of Generac. I don't know if you know, my dad went by the name of his name is Eugene, and his friends called him Gene, and the Gene part is from my dad, and the last part of it is from me. So there's Gene and Eric in the name of Generac. And there's nothing generic about it. I was pleased to associate myself with former CIA directors, Jim Rosen, and doing my part in protecting this nation's power grids. And on a local note, I wanted to just continue giving. I'm not one of those people that are greedy. I'm not a greedy person. I never will be. One thing that my dad told me was, look after your city, and I'm just doing that. One other thing, I was listening when I'm here at the City Hall. And one thing that I listened to was something that this city needs. Is a program, Waltrex. I heard it from one of the city staffers, and I would highly recommend you investing in this Waltrex. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Anyone else like to address the council tonight?
Good evening, everybody. I am Isabel Arroyo, the executive director of El Quinto Sol de America, and I'm here to, first of all, let you know how the vigil went on Sunday. Thank you so much, Mayor Pro Tem Cortez, for the great inspirational speech that you provided. I think everybody left very motivated. Thank you, Councilmember Sanchez and Flores, for attending. We had a total of 52 participants, including children. It was such a great evening, a time of really just sharing and preparing for next year. We talked a little bit of, you know, making sure that everybody registers for vote, and then also the census, trying to prepare for that as well. So we just wanted to give thanks to the City of Lindsay for letting us do the first vigil here, and we're hoping that next year we'll be able to do maybe two more, one before the primary and another one before the election, just so that, again, we have that conscience of knowledge of we have to be united and we are one community. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Isabel. Anyone else wishing to address the council? If not, we will close public comment period and move on to item number one, which is our council reports. Councilmember Flores, anything to report tonight?
Nope, not tonight.
Not this evening.
Thank you. Sanchez? Very short. Since the last time we met, I've had the opportunity to meet with three of the COS students that were here last time. They, as part of one of their political science classes, they had to interview local officials. And so three of them called me, and I met with them. And it was just so nice to hear their perspective on things, now that they're taking this course and they're learning things that sometimes we take for granted. It was nice to get their perspective and to hear what their concerns were. So I'm just glad that they have that opportunity to do so. Sometimes we have to be forced into those opportunities, but it's these opportunities that also open our eyes more. So I wish we had more of that. Second, I was just going to say, you know, thank you to El Quinto Sol for putting on that vigil on Sunday. It was well attended, as Isabel mentioned, and I was very excited to see the people there. It was the first one, and of more that are coming, I hope. And really, you know, we all shared that message of unity. There were a couple different speakers, other local elected representatives there, such as County Board of Supervisor Kyle Crocker. We also had Daniel Peñalosa from the City of Porterville. So it was very nice to share some different ideas and messages with them. And speaking of County Supervisor Crocker, we also talked about the census and what we need to do in our community to make sure that everybody gets counted. A lot of our people are afraid of just, you know, any information that they write down because of, you know, the current immigration policies that are being discussed and talked about at the national level. So like Isabel said earlier, we just want to make sure that people understand the importance of it, because ultimately it does affect us too. So as a community, we need to come together to make sure that we're doing the right thing and counting all of our residents. And then just lastly, although we don't have a high school representative, this is homecoming week, so they've already been having activities all week long, I believe. Today or tomorrow is Powder Puff, about 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the evening. And then Friday they will be playing against Granite Hills High School. So hopefully it's a win.
Yeah.
That's it. Right. Thank you.
Thank you. I also thought I'd say something about the census. I attended the TCAG meeting on the 16th. One of the action items was to approve the development of a financial incentive mini-grant process for partnering organizations for census outreach. So
So TCAG is the lead agency in Tulare County for forming a complete count committee and conducting census outreach. The state has given over $500,000 to Tulare County for the complete count effort. And there are partners willing to help in outreach to get those hard-to-count people. But maybe they need to hire more staff or more resources. So there will be a process of applying for a mini-grant. You've heard about this? That's good. Okay, because I wanted to be sure that you knew about that. Up to $10,000 for partners to help with the census effort. It was National Museum Day Saturday, and over here at our little museum, we decided to make it a work day, and we invited the Key Clubbers from high school and the Internet Club Rotary Kids, and we had 14 kids turn out, which I thought was pretty good. Wow. And helped us do a lot of cleanup efforts. So that was encouraging. And with that, we'll go to staff reports.
All right. So the staff report tonight is going to be in two parts. I'm going to go through some, and Mari Carrillo is going to share some as well. So let's go to the top of the presentation there. All right. So there's quite a bit of conversation about the census. We also have the City Services Department that's working on getting some banners that they'll have up around the city to help with that as well. Start with public safety. We have a tour of the Public Safety Department October 4th, so that's coming up pretty soon at 5 o'clock. We'll meet here and then we'll go over and do the tour of the department. We'll have the lieutenants taking us around. The chief won't be available that night, but we'll have his lieutenants there. Mm-hmm. And then it is October 19th, the health fair day, that we're having the car seat safety inspection. And that's between 10 and 1. And then we're reviewing the fire lieutenant application. We had quite a few strong applicants for that, so that's one that will be moving on in that process. Looking at city services, well 14 renovation, that's the one that we've had a part recently. We're getting that cleaned out right now, and then we'll do final inspection, sanitize things, put that back together, and well 15 is going to wait till the wintertime. It's running at 85% right now, which helps keep enough water pressure in the system to keep the tank going. We've had the water calm down in the canal, and so we're only having to back flush once a week now, so that's helping stabilize that whole system and reduce the air in the lines. So then we've got the cape ceiling. All of that's mobilizing this week. You've already probably seen some of the barriers out saying, hey, don't park here. It's coming up. And it'll be about a 30 to 45 day process, and we're going to go through the different areas that they're covering. There, other things, there's a recruitment for a maintenance worker right now, closes the 30th. We've already had probably 25, 30 applicants for it already. Yeah, they're coming in quickly. So there's also a part-time assistant planner position that is being flown right now that'll close on the 18th, and the citywide cleanup is on October 4th and 5th. And there's been flyers on Facebook and other places that are showing what the requirements are for that and how many loads you can bring in a day. So first, we're going to go through the cape seal projects. There's three major areas. We've got pretty much all of the, if I can read my own stuff here, from Oak to West there on Tulare Road. And then we have a downtown area that's a whole mess of lines down there. That may take a couple days. We're trying to coordinate that as best we can around the market in hopes of not having to disturb that. They'll have that area torn up. And then over there on Harvard, they'll have some work. And then the other six projects going in are the overlay projects. And these are spread throughout the city. I mentioned earlier, I met with Tom today, and he's excited to hear that we have some up from their building and near the school. So we're trying to get those streets taken care of. So we've got, these are the nine projects that have been funded from last year's revenue. And it doesn't show any of the projects from this year that we'll be doing this year. And so that's coming later on in the year. So we're going to have a lot going on for you. And then we also have some mulch available to anyone that wants to come pick some up. So over there at the Memorial Building, it's there. You can see kind of mounted up. Come and take it. And thank Brian. So came from his tree. So, over at the Wellness Center, they've had some really good successes there. It's kind of an exciting thing to see. So they have the mindful yoga class going on, the martial arts and swim lessons. Lisa's just thrilled about how these are going. The school district got their YES grant, which injects more funding into this that will be able to extend these classes 6th through 8th grade, I believe, for the top ones, and I'm not sure about the swim lessons, but it's going to save a lot of lives, build a lot of just work ethic and self-confidence to the martial art classes and the yoga and mindfulness. It's going to be something that I think children really need right now. So, and then they are hosting a management train October 3rd. So we've talked some in the past about how we're part of a legal group that does HR training and management training through the state. And they are coming to the Wellness Center to offer one of theirs. And it's going to be kind of a fun day. We'll have the training all day. We have most of our mid-level management attending. And they're going to bring in some food trucks around the outside. We'll have somebody selling also from the kitchen there in the Wellness Center. And so it's going to spread that training through the whole valley. So, good. And finance, so we're adding PayPal probably in the fourth quarter as an option for people for the utility bills. We ran through some of the testing for Paymentus that handles our online, and they've tested PayPal and a couple others, but that's the big one that's coming up. Continuing recruitment for the finance and accounting manager goes on the 10th of October. Audit presentation again will be on the 10th of December. And then last day to pay is tomorrow before penalty for the utilities, so it'll be a busy day there in the office. Going on to the general here. So we're expanding the partnership with the school district. The thing that you'll see first off is we have 6 different interns. The one from J.J. Karen's in the Wellness Center has already started. We have one more coming to the Wellness Center. The interns all come and meet, I think, with Mari tomorrow to start going through training. And they have to go through the same harassment training that all the other employees do. And so we've got to have them go through that. We'll have one in the city manager's office doing videography, records management at clerk's office, engineering projects and city services, and then an assistant for Officer Nave at the school. And so they all are between 1 to 2 hours a week, and we have them at least through fall. Some may want to extend through the school year, and I'm really excited to see what we can do with the videography. In particular, we'll have the employee spotlights through that and other city events that we'll be able to capture some. So. Pretty cool. And the College and Career Expo will be presenting there. So it'll be fun to kind of help the learners know that there's a lot in the city that you can do. Then roundtables and conferences. We have our community leaders group. That'll be the first one. Those are once a month, meeting with the city manager in my office from 7:30 to 8:30, the last Friday of the month. So it'll be a collection of community leaders coming and sharing ideas and thoughts and hearing an economic presentation. Business leaders will be on October 25th. And faith leaders on the 22nd of November, and then the cycle starts over. So I meet with each of those groups once a quarter. Lead conference for Mayor Pro Tem Cortez and Councilmember Flores will be the 16th to the 18th. I'll be doing there with them, and then I'll be at the ICMA from the 19th to the 23rd. So, and with that, I'm going to pass over to Mari to give you some updates.
Okay. Good evening, Council. Good evening. So first you have the packets that you're looking at. They're going to be the same same information that you had from the last meeting, from the presentation. The only change that you will see is going to be on the job description, and that's just because we've added the salary. And that's going to be the salary is just what's adopted on the salary budget, which you've already adopted. And those materials are going to be on consent calendar in the next item. Okay. So we wanted to share with you the results, the current results from the city manager survey that we posted on Facebook and the city's website. Let's see here. Basically, the two qualities that are most important in a city manager to our public right now are the top two. As you can see, 73% are asking for communication, transparency with staff and council and public. Then it drops down to promoting honest and ethical leadership and practices amongst staff. And you can see the rest. Question two. The two top are pretty close. The two abilities that are most important in a city manager, identify identifying and solving organizational inefficiencies and problems at 55%, building and strengthening connections among community stakeholders and outside agencies, 45%, pretty close there. And question three, the top two experiences types of, which two experiences types are most important in city manager familiarity with the Lindsay story, past, present, and future, 64%, and education and public management, 50%. And then it drops down. The last question was four, and that was an open-ended question so that the community can answer whatever they would like to. And we basically just wrote down the top keywords that everyone wrote down the most on those. And you can see integrity, honesty, trustworthy, bridge building, collaborativeness, and professionalism. And that's it.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you,
Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Move on then to item three, our consent calendar. We have six items on consent, which can be approved with one motion unless council requests an item be pulled for discussion. What would the council like to do?
I'll move for approval.
Been moved by Watson. Is there a second?
One second.
Second by Sanchez. We can just have a motion, a minute order. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Our next item is the Wellness Center funding agreement presented by ad hoc committee members Sanchez and Cortez.
So, the last couple of meetings we've been coming back with, you know, discussions that we've had at the Wellness Programming Committee as far as the actual funding agreement, how we discovered that, you know, there were three different and separate documents. We wanted to make sure we just had one working document so that the Wellness Programming Committee could move forward and do what they're as a committee we're supposed to do. We had made some suggestions. The hospital district board members made some suggestions. There was still some confusion, at least on my end. I still had some questions and was had just some confusion. So at the last programming committee, we had decided that we were going to ask both groups to just come together and discuss the document in chunks so that we can clarify any confusion or questions or concerns that anybody had. In the process, though, the attorney for the hospital board and our interim city manager have been communicating, trying to clarify as much as possible so that we can get to work and move on. So I believe that was done, and so we have a document that was put together in conjunction with the three documents that have been referenced in there, and the hospital board attorney and interim city manager had some discussion over it, made some further suggestions, so we have one working document now that I believe you guys have in front of you. And at this time, if I'm not mistaken, we're asking that it was emailed to us prior, right?
Correct, yep.
So we should have reviewed it. If we have any further questions or concerns or if there's still some confusion, right now is the time to discuss that. Otherwise, we would ask that we have it approved.
Correct. So it incorporates all of the edits that we got from the hospital district. And with Star and I met, we talked through the edits, incorporated the further refinement that he suggested. And so this represents both groups' opinions with it. And so if you're good with it, you approve it, it goes back to them. They can make for the suggestions that they want to or approve it. And at that point, it can be all done.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for your work on that,
mm-hmm.
both of you.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
wouldn't it be better if we would have put the wellness center first before we approve this so we could have a discussion?
They're separate topics tonight. As we got together for this and they made the request to make the presentation, it was separate from
this. It's totally separate?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So now, are there any questions or concerns about the document that we have before us now? Or are we feeling satisfied? So, I mean, I've reviewed it and the other ones too, and it looks good to me. I think it could work.
What's holding the Wellness Programming Committee from moving forward and developing or working to put together a budget and a vision is this. We want to make sure that we have a clear understanding as to what our roles are. At least I know I want to have that clear understanding so that whatever it is that we do, we're doing the right thing, right? At least that's my concern.
So are you feeling like that it clarifies things?
To me, it did. Mm-hmm. To me, it makes it more clear. And there's just one document instead of having to refer into three different documents,
mm-hmm.
and it's there. And, you know, one of the reasons why we wanted to have this one working document or one document was so that if in the future when there's changes in their hospital board and council, we don't go up, you know, back to square one and having to find the documents. Or even with management, Lisa wasn't aware of, you know, everything. There were bits and pieces. So
okay.
Well, I'd just like to say thank you for all the committee members, board members, the council, the ad hoc committees. Great job. Very, very grateful that you guys were able to work it out together and that we have one document instead of three now. I think that'll build a platform for us to move forward. So thank you.
So if we approve this tonight, then it still goes before the hospital district board,
and
they can do further edits or approve or whatever.
Yeah. The last version they saw was the edition before this
before
one.
Before
so
this
they
one.
They would have to see this too.
Okay. Well, council members, what action would you like to take?
I'd like to move for approval.
Been moved for approval by Cortez and seconded by Sanchez. Would the clerk please take roll?
Yes. Mayor Pro Tem Cortez?
Aye.
Councilmember Sanchez?
Aye.
Councilmember Watson?
Aye.
Councilmember Flores?
You know, I'm not sure if I'm clear with this because I thought we would hear from them first so that they could say it's okay.
Well,
because
they have to review it. They have to review it. They haven't seen it.
So they discussed this item in their meeting the other night and sent their edits from the document to us.
So this is so their approved?
No, they haven't seen this. They recommended edits, which are included in this.
And
but
they haven't seen it?
This. They will have this at their meeting. We say whether we're comfortable with it at this meeting. It won't be finally approved tonight because they still have to approve it.
You're accepting their edits to the document. And so I would assume that it would be accepted on that end because it's their edits to it.
I'll say no.
Okay. Mayor Gimble.
Aye. So motion carries 4-0.
4-1.
Oh, I'm sorry.
4-1, mm-hmm.
Yes. With that, we'll move to item 5, which is the presentation by the Lindsay Hospital District Board. So we invite them to present as they choose.
We have some questions.
Thank you. My turn.
Yes, go ahead, Star.
Good evening, council, staff. I'm Star Warson. I think everybody knows me. I would like to introduce the directors of the hospital district who are present, the president of the chairman of the board is Greg McQueen. The vice president of the board is Rick Lofton. Valerie Velasquez is a director, as is Yvette Soria. All are present. Teresa Hurtado is out of town on business, or she would have been present. But The letter that you have in front of you was drafted and then redrafted a time or two with the things that have happened in the meantime, but it is, dear council members, and at the regular meeting of the Lindsay Hospital Board, it was unanimously a decision to bring this letter to City Council. Now, I will say that starting August 12th, there was requests to get on the agenda, then for August 27th, then for September 10th. All were refused. And until we sent a letter to everybody, then we got on this agenda. And so all we can say is that the district has been very patient. The district desires to clear the air on several items of public concern. Now, some are history, but they are all important. Item one, it is not the district's intent to withdraw support from the Lindsay Wellness Center. Since 2005, the beginning of the Wellness Center, the building, the programming, the continued efforts, the district has been and remains steadfast supportive of the center and its benefits to the residents of the city and the district. At the joint meeting of the district and city council on June 20th, each director stated there was no intent to arbitrarily discontinue support for the Wellness Center. None. They cited the need to keep all the financial information on the table and wide open and available to all. It's important to note the operation and control of the Wellness Center is completely the city's. The decision to keep it open or to close it has nothing to do with the hospital district. It is totally the city's decision. Okay, item number two. The hospital district has specific responsibilities under the funding agreement signed June 21st, 2007. The funding agreement that is attached to what you have was the last version of the contracts spelling out the responsibilities of the city and the district for the Wellness Center. The city is to contribute $200,000 annually for operational expenses. That's in paragraph 2.A, and it's right there for you. The hospital district is to bring $233,721 annually for debt service costs. That's in paragraph 2.C. The responsibilities, I don't know how they can be any more clear. I don't know how they can be any more unmistakable. They are clear. There are no misunderstandings. It is these dollars from here, these dollars from here, period. Okay. Item three, the hospital district has funded many local programs staying within its statutory guidelines. This is kind of a summary, and it takes some of them. It's not all. But the Wellness Center debt service from 2007 to 2019 is $2,800,000+. The Wellness Center specific items. Now, this includes things like exercise equipment, facility repairs, solar system, signage, lawn upkeep, advertising, lots of things. $2,500,000, a little bit more than that. The Wellness Center additional budget, and we'll get to that in just a minute, but that has been almost $400,000. The City of Lindsay, the rescue vehicle, safety equipment, a little over $200,000. Lindsay Unified School District, they pay for an LVN salary for the district. The district wasn't able to. Also for health equipment, $420,000. Exeter Ambulance, a dedicated ambulance service for Lindsay alone, or the district, and Lindsay is again, almost $60,000. Lindsay Police Association, $12,500. Healthy Kids, Healthy Lindsay, $90,000. McDermott X and McDermott for the GUM, the Get Up and Move program, healthy living programs that they do, $27,000. Altogether, it's $6.5 million that the hospital district has contributed. Okay, item four. And this is kind of a little bit of history, but it's important to understand. In 2013, an additional budget was established to assist the Wellness Center. Before 2013, the Wellness Center manager came to the hospital board just about every month asking for help with expenses. Just as regularly, checks were issued for equipment purchases, roof repairs, exercise equipment upgrades, Zumba class equipment and cost, pool repairs, a solar system, outdoor electric sign, bird control. The list goes on. Each time, the manager told how the city had no funds and directed her to come to the district every month. It was a frustrating process, really. As a remedy, though, the district decided to set up an annual budget for the Wellness Center in addition to its $233,000 commitment. So the center and the district treasurer would get together. They would go over the coming year's needs. They would set an amount to meet the otherwise unmet needs, and it was done. It went on every year to see what extra things did the Wellness Center need, how could those be provided for. Now, in late 2018, now this is just last year, the Wellness Center manager said the center would be getting a new tenant. It was a healthcare provider bringing medical services to the center. Well, medical services are fantastic. When asked, she said there would be roughly $90,000 a year in new income. Okay, now we come to this additional budget. In April 2019, it was time to review the budget, as they did every year. With $90,000 of new income, it seemed logical that the center would probably need less from the past budget amounts, and really perhaps maybe even nothing at all. In the discussions that follow, however, the center manager held fast. She said the added budget was absolutely essential, and in fact, it needed to be more, even with the additional income. Okay, unable to reconcile the two positions, it seemed a joint meeting of City Council might help. So that happened. Item 5, the joint meeting of City Council. And the district was to discuss the financials and the Wellness Center budget, this additional budget for the Wellness Center. Okay, there was a joint meeting with council scheduled for June 20th this year. The hospital district believed it was a planning session to review the city and district contributions to the center and to see what was needed for the upcoming year. Okay, that's what had been done just about every year, but this time it was with City Council. All present, everybody. Okay, before the meeting, however, notices were put up and patrons were asked to come to the meeting to save the Wellness Center. Many were told or saw the notices how the district was about to pull its funding. Wow, this was not the district's understanding. Had nothing to do with the objectives or the purposes that the hospital district understood. Everybody was there, and everybody saw it. Everybody knows what happened at that meeting. Okay. Many came to public comment, expressing the importance of the center to each of them and asking the district not to pull out. Several even questioned the need for a hospital district at all. Now, hold that thought. We'll get to that in just a minute. Public comment at that time took more than 30 minutes. And interestingly, of all who came, only 2 lived within the city, and only 3 lived within the district boundaries. Anyway, it was clear. The two sides had very different objectives. For one, it was a simple budget discussion that was done every year, but this time with council members present. For the other, it was direct combat over a threat, a perceived threat. That wasn't the understanding of the hospital district. The directors felt blindsided by the outside issues and the defensive positioning and some disparaging comments that were made at the meeting. Needless to say, it was not cooperative, it was not expected, and surprised to hear, there was no progress. Yeah, there wasn't. But a lot of things got said and everybody walked away. Now, the city budget shows, and these are documents, public documents, that the city has not met its $200,000 annual contribution. The city made no contribution in 2005, and that's based on the 2018-19 budget. No contribution in 2017 and 18, and it was projected to make $178,000 for the 2019 budget. Okay. When the public budget figures were brought up at that joint meeting, the finance director said, well, there were inaccuracies. That only fueled the fear of lack of candor. Okay. A week or so later, it was heard that the city had made public that they intended to meet its obligation for fiscal year 2019. Gee, the first time. By contrast, the city has contributed, or the district has contributed its annual debt service without fail, and much more, as we talked about in item 3. Reviewing the city budget, it was learned that debt service was about $130,000 a year. And the city just kind of silently rolled the unused portion, almost $100,000, back into the Wellness Center accounts. Okay, while that may not be objectionable on its own, it's basically the secret diversion and redesignation city financial services. It's well known the city has cash flow issues and account shifting issues in city finance. It's been in the newspaper, it's been in the public, the budget audits, the grant audits, and a lot of the negotiations that are going on now to try to get out from under those, it's well known. But now it's learned the practice extends to the Wellness Center, too. While staff has made assurances that all funds stay within the Wellness Center account, the confidence level at this point is pretty weak. All this, regardless, is well outside the terms of the funding agreement that was signed by all the parties. $200,000 annually, $233,000 annually. Okay, that hasn't been done. Okay, meetings with city staff, item 6. In early June, counsel for the district, and that would be me, contacted the finance director to talk about wording changes that the city wanted to do in the 2007 funding agreement. Okay, that was the idea. The meeting, however, began with a statement of how one should be concerned that the hospital district may be absorbed by another district, or it may be dissolved altogether. Straight up, hi, how are you? Your district could be dissolved right now. Okay, it was also said that some feel there's little need for a hospital district without a working hospital. Remember I said to hold that thought? That was what came out of a couple of people at that public comment. Okay. Council responded that while that seems unlikely, but still, should it happen, you know what? Local control of the funds will be lost. And in turn, assistance to the Wellness Center would likely also be lost. Not a good thing. Okay. After a little bit of contentious talks were done, the discussion became more positive, but then kind of as a surprise, anyway, the finance director said any discussion of the agreement wording should be done by the public agencies alone. Needless to say, it was a short discussion. That was the end of it. Okay. In a conversation with the district director, the finance director said she should be watchful that district funding decisions are kept within statutory guidelines. Very direct, almost implying that some maybe were not. These are totally unnecessary. They only serve to further erode the needed cooperative spirit between the city and the district. Okay. Item 7, cooperation and mutual respect. Okay. In contrast to the statements made on September 10th at this city council, the hospital board understands the budget process, and yes, they can read budget materials and finance reports. There's no need for a simplified spreadsheet for those that don't have the ability to understand things in the grand sense. The directors have business experience, college degrees, BA with accounting minor, MBA degree, banking experience, evaluating business financials with Bank of America, HR experience with accounting and reports, and business ownership. They can read and understand figures. You don't need to produce a little spreadsheet just to simplify it for those that are not so well informed. It's more a matter that the public documents, and there's a couple of places that they show differing figures. If you go from one column to another column and try to add up that it should come to the totals, it doesn't. Okay. And then there's that admission that some of these reports are inaccurate. Okay. just give that the yes, the hospital district understands how to read financials. At the September meeting, and we were all here, it was suggested that city staff work with the district's attorney to work out the language and submit it to each side. That was suggested, but it was rejected. Council suggested another joint meeting be done. But given the context of the last one, it seems doubtful that a second one with 10 members in discussion mode could really be any more productive. Now, disregarding council's joint meeting idea, this past week, not this week, but the week before, the city manager did a full rewrite of the agreement. That's what you just approved. It was received in my office on Monday morning for a district board meeting to review the next day, Tuesday. The district had revisions, and the city manager wanted it back before Friday for council's upcoming meeting. 4 days. It was completed and sent to the city manager at 11 p.m. Thursday night, just to meet the city's rushed timeline. You know, it seemed like an all-hands-on-deck, last-minute push. The context here can't be ignored. The imposed requirements city staff made seemed very last minute and difficult to comply with. Now, I often comment to people kind of off the top of my head that sometimes I do my best work between midnight and bedtime. I hope this is also that work, because it was done between midnight and bedtime, or maybe after the late night news and after a little bit of TV. But yeah, at this point, I can say not only is everybody weary of this, they're somewhat irritated, exasperated with the process. But having said that, here's a complete rewrite on the table now. It wasn't anticipated. I didn't think it was going that way. But all of a sudden, wham, bam, we're okay. And I went back and forth with the city manager for a couple of additions. And I think it may be acceptable to the district, but I can't say that. Okay, although the rewrite is pending, it must be noticed, you must understand that until it's been accomplished and ratified by both sides, that 2007 funding agreement is absolutely legal, valid, and functional. And anything that wasn't done under that agreement by either party, any party, is a breach of contract. And I think any attorney understands this standard terminology, breach of contract. Okay, having said that, maybe that's bygone. We're trying to get better. We're trying to do a lot of things better. But that's where we are now. We still have a funding agreement that's valid and enforceable. Okay, in conclusion, the council and the residents must be aware how the hospital district supports many, many related wellness and health programs in the district. That includes the city, and that it's always done its part and more. The district will continue to honor its responsibilities for the Wellness Center, while confirming the district and its citizens need an open and transparent process to work with. As conveyed at the last meeting, many of the wellness, lifestyle, healthcare-related services, the programs and functions that are put on within this city and in the district might not be so available without the funding and support apart from the tax base that's brought by the hospital district. They can't do everything. They can't do street repairs and things like that, but there's a lot of funding there that has been very, very useful for the city and the district. So in an effort to be transparent and open, the district asks for more prudent, planned, constructive, and open attitude to work together to provide for the residents of the district and, in turn, the city. Respectfully submitted, Lindsay Local Hospital District, Board of Directors. We thank you for the time.
All right. Thank you, Star, and thank you on behalf of the board. Thank you, board, for being here tonight and continuing our conversation, and hopefully better days ahead there with...
Very well.
Possibly some council members want to add some things or comment. I wanted to just share one thing. and I don't think this is controversial. Just for your information. So the question of do we need a hospital district? I mean, in my mind, that was answered a long time ago, but it goes, I mean, a lot of people have questioned that since 2000 when the hospital closed, right? I mean, that it became the issue back then and was a big reason why the partnership was created. Let's have a wellness center that satisfies, you know, some of the state thinking about healthcare districts and so on. So, so that's always kind of been around. That's not like a new thing, okay? The recent story in local papers indicated that Kaweah Delta was sort of hoping or thinking about or exploring the idea of absorbing local hospital districts that didn't have hospitals.
That was part of a report that Quadnoff gave to Kaweah Delta. Yes, part of a larger, yeah.
That was and I just bring that up because I read that, and I want you to know, I want the board to know that that is a big reason why I put myself forward to be a commissioner on LAFCO. 2 months ago, I was elected by other mayors in Tulare County to be one of five commissioners on LAFCO. LAFCO decides whether anybody gets absorbed or anybody gets dissolved or anybody gets reformed or whatever. And I'm totally behind the Lindsay Hospital District to make sure that that doesn't happen, you know, that there's not some kind of an unfriendly takeover unless you know, the community decides they want that to happen. That's not going to happen under my watch, and I just want you to know that because we really do appreciate keeping those local funds local.
Those are your directors. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Next up will be a presentation by the East Kaweah Groundwater Sustainable Agency, the East Kaweah GSA, and Director Mike Hagman, and his engineer Matt, oh, your name?
Clinchu.
Some variation. Are here tonight to do that for us. Thank you for being here.
Before they start, included in the agenda were three maps identifying just from a very high view, what the Kaweah sub-basin is and how it relates to other sub-basins. And there it is on the screen, so you can see in blue the Kaweah sub-basin surrounded by the Kings, Tulare, and Thule sub-basins. The next slide shows the three GSAs within the sub-basins. We have the Mid-Kaweah, the Greater Kaweah, and then after GSA, the East Kaweah. And then to break it down even further, how the East Kaweah agencies are located. I think this is very important because while in the staff memo, it says that Mike and Matt will be present to provide a brief report, this is about 2 years worth of work just to get to this point. So I say brief, but this has taken a lot of energy, a lot of effort. You go back to the sub-basin map and the surrounding sub-basins just to get to the point of who's taking what territory was a huge task. With that, I'll pass it over to Matt.
And a lot of money.
This is a document here. This is somewhere in the million and a quarter range. And Matt's going to start reading it.
Yeah, okay.
Well, we'll move right on.
Are
we
going to read that?
He has.
Maybe Mike.
A lot of reading, but so thank you for having us tonight, and we're doing the work for the sub-basin. If you could go back to that really quick on Mike's last slide, the third one down. Mm-hmm. You'll notice on that slide the gray areas are areas that don't have a federal water contract. I mean, they don't get water off the San Joaquin River delivered down the Central Valley Project, Frank Kern Canal. The balance of them doing, there's that one gray space between Exeter in the north end of that gray space, that's Lewis Creek Water District. They too have a water contract, but decided they didn't want to be a member agency and the East Korea Groundwater Sustainability Agency.
So what do they do? So there's part of the county?
Yeah, they just said let the county deal with it. Okay. They didn't want to deal with it. They'll still track their data in terms of their federal surface supply, and they still report their groundwater depths and those types of things. So let's go back to my presentation. First page. So this breaks out Korea sub-basin's 440,000 acres. And in the study that we've done, in this study, there's a portion of it called the basin setting. This was done by a company called GEI. Okay, they're about one half of this document. And they discovered that when all is said and done, there's about 660,000 acre feet of water beneath the sub-basin available to be used on the surface. If you use more than that, well, you're dipping into your reserves. If you use less than that, you're adding to it. So the important thing to remember is surface supply is essential, and you guys have a surface supply contract. When we can stay on that page for a while, there you go. The overdraft in the basin is about 80,000 acre feet. So we have to solve for 80,000 in the sub-basin. And the groundwater agency, when you overdraft, you create undesirable results that are harmful for us. We get constituents in the water that are bad for us to drink or even farm with. You get too low in the ground, especially in our area here where our bottom of our basin is really shallow compared to you go 5 miles to the west of us, 4 miles, and the distance, the amount of area available to store water goes from about 400 feet to about 1,500 to 2,000 feet in about a half a mile. So that's bottom of our basins really goes like this, really drops off. So we need to have water here, groundwater here for us. There's a water accounting framework that was developed that defined who gets what groundwater inflow. There's reasons for groundwater inflow. Rain is one. When you have a canal and it's unlined and it flows across a basin, it loses water into the ground as it travels. Irrigation creates a demand as it over-irrigate. The water goes past the root zone into the ground. The city will take water. All cities will use water, and then when they're done with it, a lot of that goes back into percolation basins and is returned back to the ground. So there's a lot of things that add to that value. The GSAs in this basin have to coordinate our efforts, and we have a lot of information in this document that is based on some broad assumptions. So we have some gaps in data, some understanding that we need to fill information-wise. Let me go to the East Korea side. There's 117,000 of the 440 is us, the East Korea GSA. And in the water accounting framework, we've been assigned about 125,000 acre-feet of supply in the ground. That becomes our supply. You combine that with surface supply, we're somewhere around 230,000, 235,000 acre-feet of surface supply in our 117,000 acres. The plan establishes undesirable results, what we think is an undesirable result, a condition that we don't want to exceed. We also establish measurable objectives, points where we want to accomplish. One of our measurable objectives would be to raise the level of groundwater underneath us from 2015 to where it was in 2017. And we're above that now, but there are conditions that are causing other challenges to us, to our west.
So what are those conditions?
Overdraft.